Hello, lovelies. I'm Valeria, and this is Have Murder, Will Travel. We made it to episode 3. Yay! I'm sure you want to know where we're going this week, so I'll quit the jibber-jabber and get right to it. I told you we were going to Europe, but where in Europe? We are going to Italy! So this week, we are in Italy, and we are going to be talking about serial killer Donato Bellanzia. This asswipe killed 17 people, and he did it in about a 6-month period. And guys, I don't want to say I'm excited about him being a serial killer, because that sounds fucked up, but this is the first time we're doing a serial killer, so it's teensy bit exciting. Just because there's so much to talk about, not because he killed a bunch of people. Fuck that. Let's dive right in. Donato Bellanzia. I hope I'm saying his name right. Someone let me know if I'm not. He was born July 10, 1951 in Potenza, Italy. When he was 5, his family, so him, mom, dad, and his older brother, Michele, moved to the Liguria region of Genoa. Now, Donato did not have the best childhood, which is common among serial killers. It's certainly not an excuse by any means, but I'm just letting you know where he's coming from. So he was a bedwetter until he was about 12. I was not a bedwetter, but I can imagine that being super embarrassing, and I do kind of feel bad for him. Let me clarify. I do feel bad for child Donato. I do not feel bad for adult Donato. Fuck him. Now his mother, a real winner, shamed him for wetting the bed. Instead of, you know, I don't know, acting like a mom and comforting him or whatever, she would actually put his wet mattress out on the balcony so all the neighbors could see it. That sounds great. His aunt, another bitch, used to help him dress for bed, and she would often pull his underwear down and show his cousins his underdeveloped penis. These two bitches should write a parenting book. They just sound swell. So when he was 14, he decided to start calling himself Walter. I am not going to call him that because fuck him. You don't get to kill 17 people and pick a name out for yourself. I'm going to keep calling him Donato. Now, an interesting thing about Donato is that he didn't start killing until he was about 46. Or not about, he was 46, which is kind of old to get started. He actually had no history of violence before he killed, which again is kind of weird. Most of these serial killers, you know, they start out with small animals, dogs, other children, stuff like that. Usually there's a pattern, there's a history of violence there. There's nothing violent with this guy, which, like I said, is rather odd. Now, he has no history of violence, but he did have histories of run-ins with the law, okay? And they started pretty early. So in 1966, so he would have been, you know, 14, 15 years old. He stole a scooter, and all I could find online was that he stole a scooter, and I'm guessing they mean like a motorized scooter, not like, you know, a little push scooter. I'm assuming they meant something you drive. He was arrested for this, but he was released because they decided he was still too young to distinguish right from wrong. Then in 1971, he stole a truck full of Christmas sweets. He tried to sell the sweets under the counter of a supermarket. Once again, he was released because they thought he couldn't distinguish between right and wrong. I just want to say, what the fuck, Italy? How old does someone have to be able to distinguish right from wrong? Because I feel like at this point, he's old enough to know you can't just steal a truck. I mean, children understand that concept. In 1974, he was arrested in Como for having an illegal gun. And you're going to see that guns are a favorite of his. He uses them in all of the murders. He was actually put in jail for this illegal gun. And at some point, he was placed in a psychiatric hospital. But in 1976, he managed to escape from the hospital. So that's just great. He was apprehended and returned to jail to finish his 18-month sentence. 2 years later, in 1978, so hold up. In 1976, he escaped and was apprehended for an 18-month sentence. 2 years later, he's already committing new crimes. 18-month sentence. So guys, he's only been out for maybe 6 months at this point, and he is already committing new crimes. Wow. So in 1978, he actually went international and was arrested in France for a series of burglaries that he committed with someone else. In 1981, he's back in Italy, and he was arrested with two other people for armed robbery and unlawful imprisonment. So this guy's just robbing shit every few years. It seems like he gets arrested, gets a couple years in the clink, comes out, does it again. You know, that's his life. In 1985, he is reported for gambling. Now, in 1987, something really sad happened to him. And again, this is a time when you can feel bad for him. But again, he's a murderous piece of shit, so we're not going to feel too terribly bad. But in 1987, his older brother, Michel, committed suicide. He actually, trigger warning, this involves a child. Michel actually threw himself and his four-year-old son, David, under a train. I'm just going to let that sink in a minute because, wow. So now in 1990, a prostitute reported Donato for sexual aggression and unlawful imprisonment. I couldn't find any record that anything was done about this. I'm sure this was one of those instances where sex workers are regarded as, you know, less than, so the police might not have done anything. I mean, that's completely fucked up, but it does happen. And I'm not saying that to shit on Italian police. It happens everywhere. You'll see it in a lot of cases. And I'm also not saying that's what happened here. I'm just speculating that's entirely possible that that is what happened here. In 1994, a female shop girl reported him for sexual nuisances. So yeah, I mean, this guy already an asshole. Right? I mean, everything he's been doing has been just pure assholery, and he hasn't even killed anybody yet. So now we're up to 1997, the year the murders begin. Again, he murdered 17 people in a 6 month period. That's almost three a month. I don't understand how he had time for anything else. He murdered 17 people from October 15th, 1997, and April 20th. 1998. He used a gun for every single murder. Specifically, he used a 38 caliber revolver loaded with wad cutter bullets. I did Google wad cutter bullets because I don't know shit about guns. And all I could tell was that they're flat. You know, like most of the time you see a bullet and it's pointy on the end or kind of rounded. These are flat on both ends. And what I read said that they're mostly used for target practice, like shooting the little paper targets at the range. So I'm not sure what that would do as far as shooting someone with killing them. Like, I don't know if that would make a bigger hole or do more damage. I'm not sure how that works. But yes, he used a 38 caliber revolver loaded with wad cutter bullets. Anybody that knows more about guns, please feel free to shoot me an email and let me know, because like I said, I don't really know shit about guns. So aside from the gun thing, he really had no set sort of like MO, what he's doing, victim profile. He kills men, women, different ages. He kills people he knew. He kills random people. At one time he said, quote, I wanted to kill somebody. So he just randomly found somebody and killed him. Like, you know, Tuesday night, need something to do. I know, go kill somebody. That's how I like to spend an evening. So yeah, he's not like most serial killers. He's pretty, I mean, they're all fucked up, but this one's, there's just no set psychology behind him. It's kind of interesting. Now, he did end up confessing to all the murders and he talked a lot. So I'm going to have plenty of quotes directly from the asshole's mouth. And you're going to see from his quotes, this motherfucker had absolutely no remorse for anything he did. Like none whatsoever. And I don't know. The fact that he just kind of randomly picks people and he makes no attempt to hide the bodies either. Like he'll kill people and just leave them there in a field. And as he goes along, a couple of his murders happen in public places during the day. And I just think the randomness and the casualness of it is somehow, it's scarier than killers that have a set sort of victim profile and motive. I don't know. It just, it makes me feel worse than somebody that's like, oh, I kill brunettes because, you know, a brunette broke my heart. I mean, it's fucked up, but at least there's some kind of reasoning. This guy just seemed to be like, I don't know, you, I'll kill you. So on to the murders. Now, Donato, in addition to being a burglar, as we've already covered, also happened to be a compulsive gambler. Fun. He frequented gambling dens, and one night he lost 185,000 euros in a card game. He claimed the card game was rigged. I couldn't find anything that said that for sure, but that's where he's coming from. In his mind, rigged card game. He lost all this money. Fuck whoever rigged this game. Well, the man that invited him to this game, Giorgio Contanaro, would become his first victim. Donato threatened him with a gun and then suffocated him. At first, this man's death wasn't even ruled a homicide. Everyone thought he died of a heart attack. And now for Donato, this was purely a revenge killing and nothing more. I'm going to read you a bit of what he said about this one when he confessed, and you'll see he just wanted revenge. He said, quote, I knew him well. I followed him to where he used to live. Once I waited for him till late, 2 a.m., near his building, and as he was closing the main door, I managed to enter with him. I brought my gun with me, but I couldn't use it because the spot was too little, and I was afraid the noise of the shot would have been too loud. So I decided to suffocate him with a pillow, but before, I used an adhesive tape that I'd brought with me to control him. As I've already said, I just wanted to kill him. That was my only goal. There were about 500,000 lira on the table, but I did not want money. I've left the body straight ahead in front of the apartment door. I wanted everyone to know he's been murdered. End quote. How fucked up is that guy? Not only did he kill this guy just to kill him, but he knew the victim. I don't know how you kill anybody, but especially someone you know. Like that, I don't know. It's fucked up. And poor Giorgio Centinaro was only 58 when he died. His body was discovered the next morning. 8 days later, on October 24th, 1997, Donato murdered two people. Remember that card game where he lost all that money? That game was run by Maurizio Parenti. So on October 24th, poor Maurizio Parenti and his wife, Carla Scotto, became victims two and three. They were newlyweds. They had only been married for 3 weeks. This time, Donato did decide to rob them. Not sure why he went after the money this time, left the money last time. Again, who knows why the fuck this guy does anything? He's got a few screws loose or something. Here's some of what he had to say about this couple when he confessed. Quote, I knew both well, especially Parenti, and I knew he used to go around with a personal bodyguard. I've been waiting for him several nights to control his moving. One of those nights, I decided it was the right time to strike him, and I waited for him until 4 a.m. When his bodyguard was gone, I tried to get close to him by striking up a conversation. I remember I told him I've got something to show him in a plastic handbag. End quote. In that bag, Donato had more adhesive tape and handcuffs. Once he was inside with Parenti, he threatened him with a gun, handcuffed him, and put tape over his mouth. Carla Scotto, the wife, was asleep at this time because, remember, it's 4 a.m. Donato made Maurizio give him the combination to the safe. He then emptied the safe. The safe had 13 million lira and 5 Rolex watches. Donato apparently told Maurizio how he felt about him since the gambling incident. So, like, just kind of went off on him, all that jazz. Then he hit him in the face with the gun. You actually see he does this a couple of times. And after he hit him in the face with the gun, he shot him in the face using a blanket as a silencer. Of course, the poor wife, Carla Scotti, woke up and started screaming, so he tied her up with the tape, and then he had to shoot her too. So at this point, this motherfucker has killed three people in 8 days over a card game. A fucking card game. I don't care how much money you lose, dude. That is an over fucking reaction. Now, 3 days later, Donato went to an old couple of jewelers to fence the stolen watches. Something went wrong, and on October 27th, 1997, Bruno Solari and his wife, Maria Luigia Pito, became victims 4 and 5. Here's what Fuckface had to say about this one. Quote, I knew them both. I thought they were the right persons to set the 5 watches that I took from Parenti's safe, but something went wrong. They were pretty afraid, and did not want to have anything to do with me. They were both pretty old. I had to shoot at both because they could have identified me. I took some jewelry, too. There was their maid, but she was in another room. If she had seen me, I would have killed her, too. Anyway, I didn't plan to kill them. It was a mess, and I had to do it. End quote. I'm just going to let that sink in. I mean, what? He didn't mean to kill them. He just had to. Don't you just hate when you just have to kill somebody? Also, their poor maid later testified and confirmed that she was there in another room when it happened. Can you imagine knowing you were that close to death? Ooh, that just sends shivers down my spine. Now, up until this point, you'll notice he's killed only people he already knew. But like I told you earlier, he doesn't always do that. So this next one is when he starts killing people he doesn't know. On November 13, 1997, 15 days after the last murder, Luciano Maro became victim number 6. Luciano Maro was a money changer. A money changer is the person that exchanges currencies. So like if I went to Italy right now, a money changer would exchange my American money for Italian money. Now this murder was entirely motivated by money. This one has a completely different motive from the others. The others were revenge and who knows what happened with the jewelers. Yeah, he did take money, but that wasn't the main motive. This one just wanted money. So again, motives are all over the place. Victimology is all over the place. This guy's just spooky as fuck. Now, Donato actually admitted that he watched this guy for a while, a couple of days, to learn his movements and to figure out when the best time would be to rob him. He said that he watched him and had conducted several, quote, on-the-spot investigations. He attacked this poor guy while he was sweeping the floor. So this dude's just trying to close up for the night, do his fucking job, sweep the floor, and this asshole comes in and murders him. Fuck this guy. Here's a little bit of what Donato had to say about this one. Quote, I entered the office and threatened him with my gun. Then I ordered him to empty the safe and give me all the money. But he tried to react, and I shot at him multiple times. I could not leave him alive because he could recognize me. Then I just went away with my car. End quote. We're actually going to see this with a lot of his crimes. This fucker would make absolutely no attempt to hide the body, like I said earlier. I mean, look at that first one. He even said, I wanted everyone to know he'd been murdered. And you're going to see he just drives away. Does not give a fuck. Like, nope, kills somebody and leaves. You know, as one does. And also, I want to tell you, he did get 45 million lira from the money changer safe, but I don't really give a fuck how much money he got. It's not enough to kill for. Fuck you. So now, Donato takes a little break. You know, I guess murdering 6 people wore him out. I don't know. So he killed poor Luciano Maro on November 13th, 1997, and he doesn't kill again until January 25th, 1998. Now, this killing is also random as shit, and it's not really motivated by anything other than he just doesn't like this guy's profession. The next victim, 52-year-old Jean Giorgio Camus, was a night watchman. So, night watchman, as the name implies, you know, like a night security guard. Now, remember all those times in the 80s when Donato was getting arrested for being a thieving dick? Well, one of those times, it was a night watchman who caught him. So naturally, he decided that he hated all night watchmen and they all could just fucking suck and die. So poor Gian Giorgio Camus, excuse me, I just realized I've been looking at my notes incorrectly. Gian Giorgio's last name is C-A-N-U, not M-U, so it's Canu, not Camu. And either way, I'm probably mispronouncing it. So poor Gian Giorgio Canu was just doing his job, just like the poor money changer, and this murderous shit gibbon decides to kill him. Like, fuck off, dude. What do you have against people doing their fucking jobs? How about instead of robbing and killing, you go get a fucking job? Ugh. So here's what Donato had to say about this murder. Quote, I knew him, and as all the other night watchmen, I simply did not like him. I surprised him as he was in service inside of one of his operatives' buildings. I shot at him several times. Nobody has seen what happened. I was pretty sure about it. So again, just A night watchman doing his fucking job years ago caught Donato being a dick. And now he just murders some other night watchman who, again, doing his fucking job. This guy sucks. And now after this murder, Donato really kind of flipped his shit. And this is when he really just kind of starts targeting random people for really like no fucking reason. He does plan the murders ahead of time, most of them. Like, he'll scope out areas and whatnot, but he's not planning victims. He's just picking people and picking them off. And again, after Jean Giorgio Canut, he decided to take another little break. So he killed poor Jean Giorgio Canut in January, and he doesn't kill again until March. So on March 15th, 1998, a naked and lifeless body of a young woman was discovered in the hills near Genoa. She had been shot once behind the ear. There were no signs of sexual or physical assault on the body. That body was later identified as 25-year-old Albanian prostitute Stella Trua. My research also showed she had an alias, and we're going to see that with a couple of the victims. I couldn't find anything definitive, but I'm guessing some of them would use an alias when they work the streets. So Stella Trua's alias was Boriana Almarina. Now here's what this fuckface had to say about this murder. Quote, "I made her get in my car. I offered her a big amount of money for a sexual intercourse at home in order to quickly gain access to her. Then I took her to an isolated area nearby Genoa's hills that I had seen and controlled before and considered suitable for killing. I made her fully undress, and immediately after I made her get out of the car. She was pretty afraid and didn't want to get out, so I took her by the hair and I dragged her out. Then I made her fall on her knees and shot at her head once. Then I left her there and went away." End quote. Like I said earlier, no remorse. Just casually says I shot her and left her there. It is so fucked up that he just does not care about getting caught. And you're actually going to see that even further later. Like, this motherfucker just did not care. No fucks given with this guy. And not in a fun, like, I don't give a fuck kind of way. No, in like a, uh-oh, this guy's fucking psychotic. Okay. Now, only 3 days later, on March 18th, 1998. Oh, I'm going to struggle with this name. I'm sorry. March 18th, 1998. Lyudmila Zubskova became victim 9. Zubskova was only 33 years old. She was a Russian prostitute. He left her body in an empty area behind a hospital. The way he describes this murder is virtually the same as the previous one. He scoped out the area ahead of time, told her he'd pay her a bunch of money to have sex with him at home, drove her to the murder location, drew her out of the car by her hair, shot her. The casual callousness of the way he talks about this one. I mean, they're all fucked up. But this one, he says, quote, "I shot at her head once, then I simply went away." Like, this motherfucker is shooting these poor girls execution style, and then afterward he just shrugs and leaves. I mean, I just imagine him going home and having a beer and watching TV like he didn't just murder some poor woman. And that makes me really want to barf. Like, it's disgusting. Now, on March 20th, so only 2 days later, Donato decided to murder another money changer. This money changer's name was Enzo Gottrigori. Excuse me. I have really shitty handwriting, guys, and I'm kind of struggling here. I'm going to try to write neater for you next time. Enzo Gorni is the name of this money changer. Donato did this one just like the other money changer. He stalked his office, waited for the perfect time to strike, then he threatened him with the gun so he'd open the safe, shot him multiple times, emptied the safe and left. Once again, he got 30 million lira. Again, I'll say, I don't really fucking care how much it was. Not enough to kill for. Also, I just want to say, I do not know the exchange rate on lira to dollars, but I imagine 30 million lira is a lot of money. So I don't actually believe this fucker is doing any of this for money at this point. I mean, he must have enough by now, right? Also, not all the victims were robbed. I think he's just a murderous shitbag who thought he had the right to kill whoever and wherever he wanted. So he can just fuck right off. That's what I think of that. Now, 4 days later, on March 24th, Donato shot 3 people, 2 night watchmen and another prostitute. But guess what, guys? Only 2 of them died. That's right. Mr. I have to shoot them because they could recognize me left a motherfucking witness. So that night, Donato had picked up Julio Castro, alias Lorena, Julio Castro was a 24-year-old prostitute. Donato picked Castro up, and he actually did force Castro to have sex with him, like forced him at gunpoint. And while he was committing the sexual assault, two night watchmen, Massimo Galillo and Candido Rando, came upon the scene. They tried to intervene because, you know, they're doing their fucking jobs. And unfortunately, the encounter was fatal for them. Castro was shot twice in the abdomen, but later testified that he pretended... Castro was shot twice in the abdomen, but later testified that he pretended to be dead, and that's how he survived. These murders actually took place on a private villa. Donato actually scoped out the villa ahead of time and pretended it was his property when he brought Castro there. Now I'm going to read you what he said about this murder. It's pretty long, so buckle up. And before I read this, I want you to know that Donato refers to Julio Castro as the transsex, because I guess Castro was trans. I'm going to read what he said, but I want you to know this is not me saying these words. They're Donato's words. I would never disrespect someone by calling them that. Okay, so he said, quote, "Even this time I've been on the spot before, and I decided that was suitable for my next homicide. I noted that the villa's gate was not closed in the right way, so I opened the gate and entered the villa's park in order to control the place. Then I exit. I met the transsex nearby and made him get in my car as I made all the former prostitutes. I carried him to that place, told him the villa was mine, and I pretended to open the gate. Then I entered and parked my car with the passenger ride's door blocked up by a tree so the transsex could not leave to get away. I had my gun with me. I asked him an oral intercourse, but I didn't want to use a condom, so he did not want to have sex with me. And while I was forcing him to have sex with me, suddenly two cars came in. They were two night watchmen. I tried to keep the transsex quiet, but he told them I was sexually assaulting him. They asked me what I was doing about there and that I couldn't keep on staying there because it was private property. I told them that we were just going away, but the transsex was keeping on yelling against me. Then one of them told that before going away, we had to wait for him because he had to call the head office. So I decided that it would have been better to stop him. I shot at him twice, and then to the other one that was still in his car. Then I tried to reach the transsex that tried to escape by concealing himself among the bushes. I shot at him twice at his abdomen, but he was still alive. Then I heard some moanings coming from the two night watchmen. They were still alive. There were just 5 shots left on my pocket. I came back to my car and I loaded the gun again. Then I shot the two men once again. Then I tried to shoot at the transsex 3 times, but I missed him. He tried to fight back, but he fell down when I struck at his face with the gun butt. I believed that he was dead. Then I went away." End quote. For me, the most disturbing part of that story is the fact that he reloaded his fucking gun in the middle of the killings. Like, this guy is not frenzied or panicked while he's just shooting while he's shooting people. He's just calm, clear-headed, knows how many bullets he has left, goes, better pause and go reload. What the absolute fuck? This guy's kind of scary and fucked up, and I don't like any of it. Castro later testified in court, and he confirmed Donato's story. He said of the experience, quote, "He wanted to kill me. He looked so weird. I'm sure he's the same who killed all the other young women." End quote. So Castro is a fucking survivor, okay? He even helped the police make a sketch. I'm going to post a picture of the police sketch. It looks exactly like Donato, okay? Like, I'll post the side-by-side shot. You're going to be like, yeah, clearly that's him. Castro also gave a detailed description of Donato's car. Now again, you think this stopped him from killing? You know, the fact that there's a sketch out there that looks exactly like him? Nope. Like I said before, fucker does not give a shit. Like, I don't know. I've never killed somebody, but I think if a sketch was going out around that looked like me, I'd be like, better stop. Nope. 5 days later, on March 29th, he murdered Evelyn Ashow. Evelyn Ashow, alias Tessie Adobo, was a 28-year-old Nigerian prostitute. This was just like the other prostitutes. He offered a lot of money, drove her to an isolated area, drug her out of the car, and shot her. He did say that she tried to run, so he shot her knees before he shot her in the head. His next victim, on April 3rd, so what, like 5 days later? 4? Was Luisa Caminiello. She was a 47-year-old Italian prostitute. Caminiello met clients in her apartment. Now, Donato actually did not talk about this one in his confession, but most people think she probably recognized him from the police sketch because, again, it looked just fucking like him. After he killed her, he also robbed her apartment. Now, this next murder is, oh no, this one really gets me. It's super fucked. Not that the rest haven't been fucked, but the randomness and the brazenness of this one, oh no, spooks me. So on April 12th, 1998, Easter Day, guys, 32-year-old nurse Elisabetta Zopetti was found shot to death in the bathroom of a train. Donato seriously got on a train full of people, followed some poor woman to the bathroom, killed her, and then just disappeared like a cloud of smoke. This is fucking scary, guys. Elisabetta was married and had a 4-year-old son. This dude made this 4-year-old motherless just because he got on a train and wanted to kill somebody. Here's what he had to say about this one after he confessed. Quote, I got in the train at Genoa's main station. After a while, I noticed a woman sitting in the first class wagon. I did not know who she was. I've never seen her before. A few minutes later, she went to the bathroom, taking her handbag with her. I waited for a while. Then I decided to enter the bathroom and to kill her. I remember that she started yelling, but I covered her head with her jacket, and then I shot at her head once. I took her handbag looking for her train ticket, because I haven't got mine. Then I put the handbag inside the wagon she was traveling in. Then I got out the train at Voghera station. I got in the train because I wanted to kill a woman, even if I did not touch her. I didn't want to have sex with her. I just wanted to kill her. End quote. What the absolute fuck? He got on the train just because he wanted to kill a woman. I've always wanted to ride the trains across Europe because it sounds beautiful and it's supposed to be a great way to see stuff. But this really makes me never want to get on a train again. Also, I'm about to go on vacation alone, and this makes me a little scared that I'm going to be murdered by the American Donato. So if this podcast suddenly ends after this episode, y'all know why. Now, 2 days later, on April 14th, 1998, Donato murdered another prostitute, 22-year-old Mima Valbona, alias Christina Quale, was a Slav prostitute and Donato's 15th victim. Donato even called this one, quote, a copycat homicide. Like the other prostitutes, he offered a lot of money, drove her to an isolated area, drug her out of the car, and shot her. The big difference with this one is that there was evidence Mima and Donato had had sex. In his confession, he said they had consensual sex before he murdered her. Maybe they did, maybe they didn't. Either way, he is a murderous piece of shit. We're getting near the end, guys. Like I said, that was victim 15. So he about to get arrested, don't worry. 4 days later, on April 18th, 1998, Donato struck victim number 16. This was another random woman he saw on the train. I just don't understand how this works, how you get on a fucking train full of people and kill somebody. Ugh. This woman's name was Maria Angela Rubino. She was a 32-year-old maid and babysitter. This one is almost identical to the murder of Elisabetta Zepeda, except for one key difference. I'll let him explain this one to you, and then we'll talk about it. He said, quote, on the train I saw a young woman. I remember that I felt a sudden, irresistible impulse to kill her. After a few minutes, she went to the bathroom. I waited for a while and then opened the bathroom's door with my special key. She had no time for fighting back. It took just a few seconds to kill her. I shot at her head once, using her jacket as a silencer. I remember that I felt pretty excited by her black underwear, so I locked the bathroom's door and masturbated myself using her clothes to clean up when I finished. I got out of the train at Bordighera station, but I used the wrong door, so the system alarm went on, and one of the train controllers asked me what I was doing at the wrong side, but I answered that I lived nearby and I just walked away. Then I caught a cab in front of the station and came back to San Remo, where I left my car. End quote. Did you catch that, guys? That's right. Not only did he murder this random woman on a full-ass train, but after he murdered her, he decided that was a great time to masturbate. You know, over her dead body. I have no words. No words to describe how fucking fucked up that is. What? Murder somebody and you're like, that really gets me going. Ugh. Disgusting. Now, 2 days later, April 20th, this is the day of his final murder. So on this day, Donato pulled up to a gas station and killed the attendant. That attendant was 51-year-old Giuseppe Mileto. Now, Donato had no money to pay for gas. I don't fucking understand that he's stolen so much fucking money. Has he not had money for gas? Shit. Anyway, he had no money for gas, so he robbed the guy at gunpoint, you know, as one does. And then he said he had to shoot him because he'd seen his face. He shot him multiple times and then just drove away like always. Now remember, the police had that sketch that looked just fucking like him. There were also witnesses who had seen some of the prostitutes getting into Donato's black Mercedes. Mercedes. I just realized where all his money went. So they got the sketch, description of the car. He was obviously suspect number one. So the police followed him for 10 days. As they were following him, they collected DNA from cigarette butts and a discarded coffee cup. And guess what, guys? Surprise, surprise. His DNA matched DNA from the crime scenes. What? I'm fucking shocked. Now on May 6, 1998, Donato Baluncia was arrested. At first, he proclaimed innocence, didn't say anything. But after only 8 days, he decided to confess because he's a little bitch. This guy talked for 2 days straight. Just talked and talked and talked. He even drew the police diagrams of the murders. Just drew them 17 pictures like he's fucking Picasso. Piece of shit. On May 6th, his trial lasted 11 months. I'm not sure why it lasted so long when he confessed. I don't really understand that, but it did. He was found guilty, and Donato Baluncia was sentenced to 13 life sentences for the 17 murders, plus an additional 20 years for the attempted murder of Julio Castro. The judge ordered that he never be released. I'm happy he's never getting released because fuck him, but I'm kind of confused why he was sentenced to 13 life sentences, but he murdered 17 people. I don't know, seems weird. Now, in prison, this asshole was described as a model prisoner because, you know, of course he fucking was. They always are, right? In fact, in 2016, he received his accounting degree. How fucking great for him. In 2017, he had the nerve to ask that his sentence change from life to only 30 years. Don't worry, guys. That request was rightfully denied because fuck you, you rot in jail. Now that same year, he was allowed to leave the prison to visit his parents' graves. Now, you can call me an asshole all you want, but I don't think a violent serial killer should get leave for shit like that. You murdered 17 people. I don't give a fuck if you want to visit your parents' graves. You should have thought about that before you killed 17 people. I think the whole thing is fucking horse shit. You can come at me all you want. That's my opinion. In September of 2019, he asked for another temporary leave, but this time the request was denied because the court said he was, quote, still dangerous. Yeah, no shit. So why'd you let him out 2 years before this? Makes no fucking sense. Of course he's still dangerous. He doesn't even care that he killed 17 people. On December 17th, 2020, at the age of 69, Donato Baluncia died in prison. I'd love to tell you that he got murdered in some horrific, graphic way by an inmate, but no, he died of COVID. Aw, forgive me if I don't feel bad. So, you know, rot in hell, Donato Baluncia. And that is going to conclude our jaunt to Italy. Hopefully you enjoyed your trip. Tune in next time to see where we travel next. Don't forget to rate, review, subscribe wherever you get your podcast. New episodes drop on Mondays. In the meantime, you can follow the podcast on Instagram at HaveMurderWillTravel. I always post photos about the cases. You can also find the podcast on Facebook at HaveMurderWillTravelPodcast. And you can send me an email, hopefully explaining guns to me, or also just to say hi. The email is havemurderwilltravel@gmail.com. Thanks for listening. And until next time, don't forget to explore the world and stay alive. Bye.